Please turn with me to Psalm 62. We want to read three verses from the Psalms. Psalm 62 and verse 4. Psalm 62 verse 4 says, "They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly." Selah. And then verse 8. Psalm 62 verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. And then look at Psalm 66, verse 4. And here it says, "Blessed is the man." I'm sorry, 66, verse 4. "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name." Selah. Now we have many a time read the word Selah is found in the scriptures, mainly in the book of Psalms. And you may wonder, what is the meaning of this word, Selah? And I think it is important for us to know what this word means and understand what it means so that we might appreciate fully the Psalms and what God has intended the Psalms to mean for our spiritual benefit and growth. You know, the word Selah is used 71 times in the Psalms and 3 times in Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3, verse 9, and verse 13. So it's used quite a number of times, all right, in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Now, what does it mean? Now, scholars today generally believe that the meaning of this word has been lost. Today, we do not know the meaning, for sure. The meaning is uncertain, and we cannot say very much about this word, what it means. For example, the Theological Workbook of the Old Testament, TWOT, edited by Led Harris, Gleason Archer, and Bruce Walkie. These are Old Testament scholars. They are evangelicals. And when I look at their Theological Workbook, to find out what this word means, they don't say very much. They simply say, many other conjectures as to its meaning, but nothing certain is known. Nothing certain is known. You can never be sure what this word means. The meaning has been lost. Now, we who believe in the 100% inspiration and 100% preservation of the Word of God, even every Word of God, we believe that God intends His Word to be understood, to be known and understood, and to be applied in our lives. So I believe that the word Selah is pronounced Selah, not Selah. Sometimes we hear it pronounced as Selah. Selah, Selah, Hebrew word. And this word is given in the scriptures, found mainly in the Psalms. It is God's word, and God intends for us to know this word and to understand this word. And I believe that God has given to us the meaning of this word in the scriptures itself. The Holy Scriptures, God's word, is self-interpreting. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. And we know that this word surely must mean something. God didn't just put this word here for no reason and no purpose. Jesus himself said in Matthew 4 verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." From out of his mouth, this word, selah, came from the mouth of God. It's a God-breathed word. What does it mean? I want to know, and I'm sure you want to know too, right? And surely there is a sacred reason and purpose for this word, and we want to discover and understand the meaning of this word this morning. Now, our sole and supreme authority for our faith and practice is none other than God's Word. And the Bible, the Word of God, it is its own commentary and own dictionary. So if you want to know the meaning of the Word in any part of the Scriptures, the best place to find the meaning is in the Word of God itself. You do a word study. How is the Word used in the Scriptures in its various contexts? And it will give us the meaning and will inform us on what, you know, the word in the text would mean. And explain in other verses, in parallel passages in the Bible. And this is taught also in the Westminster Confession of Faith, to which we subscribe. The Westminster Confession of Faith tells us that the infallible rule of interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. And therefore, when there is a question about the true and full sense of any scripture, including this word, selah, which is not manifold but one, it must be searched and known by other places that speak more clearly. So we need to rightly divide the word of truth. The best commentary of the scriptures is the scriptures itself. Right? The Bible is its own infallible, inerrant commentary. So we need to search the scriptures, comparing scripture with scripture, to ascertain, to discover what this word means. Now, this word selah, which is a Hebrew word, comes from the root word salah, which means to weigh or to value, right? And it has the idea of weighing something to ascertain its value. For example, this word is used in Job 28:16. And also Job 28:19. Now if you turn to Job 28:16, you will read this. It says here in Job 28:16, "It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire." It cannot be valued. Now this is from the word salah, verb salah, which is the root word for selah. And here it is translated, "It cannot be valued." Right? Cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The wisdom of God cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, and with the precious onyx or the sapphire. And then in verse 19, Job 28:19, the word is used again, "The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued." That's the word salah here, the root word of selah, "be valued with pure gold." So that's the idea of value, right? So when we read the Psalms, and then the verse ends, or the passage ends with selah, we are thus to take stock of that verse, or even that whole passage, and consider what it says very carefully, weigh it, all right, value it, see it as a very valuable verse, a very important verse that God wants us to pay attention to, all right, to pause and to think. Don't rush through that verse. Maybe we have to read it again, the second time, and even the third time. Meditate on the word and see how valuable, all right, is that verse, the content of it, and what it means, and how it can be applied in our lives. So that is the the intent of the word here as explained by its root word, salah, to value, to weigh. Consider very carefully. Pay attention to this word, okay, or to the text, or to the portion that has just been read. So, for example, you know the word Selah is also used in the book of Habakkuk 3 times. And let us look at those 3 times in which it is used. All right, look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3. Habakkuk 3, verse 3, and here it says, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. And then you have Selah, right? So what does it tell us? This tells us that now we have to pause for a moment and really concentrate on this verse. God wants us to pay attention to what he has said here in verse 3. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. And when the Jews, when they read this portion and they see this word Selah, they must, right, take time, meditate, reflect. What did God do in Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran? These places which are familiar to the Jews, which record for us the activities of God. What happened at that time, and what has it got to teach us, to remind us of who God is, and what he has done for us, that we might find strength and encouragement at the low point of our life. Right? Because the readers may have forgotten history. And so when you come to this point and you read of God in Teman and Paran, well, what happened? I better study what God had done in the past and know who he is and what he has done for us. So it draws us back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2 and 3. And here in Deuteronomy 33, verse 2 and 3, we read, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them, and he shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So he reminds God's people of this covenant God that they have, that he is the Almighty God, all-powerful God, and how he had given to them his law, and how he has delivered them from destruction, how he has been a very good God to them at every stage of their history and their life, and how he is worthy of their trust and confidence. Selah, take time to reread the historical portions of the scriptures. Understand who God is, what kind of God he is, how he has dealt with you, and then renew your trust and confidence in him. Right? Habakkuk 3 verse 9. And here the word Selah is used again. It says here, thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. All right? Take time to reflect. Think of the words here. The bow was made quite naked. God was the one who fought for Israel. And he has kept all his promises, the oaths that he has swore to the tribes of Israel, the promises he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, many promises made to Israel with regard to the promised land. And God here has kept his many oaths and promises to the tribes of Israel. And every word was, is, and will be fulfilled. And how God has cast out the Canaanites. He fought their battles for them. How the walls of Jericho fell. and how they finally possessed the land according to his promise. A land flowing with milk and honey. So here, Selah, reflect on how the bow of God was made quite naked, fulfilling its fullest, all right, duty to destroy their enemies according to all that he had sworn to Israel, the oaths, the many oaths he had taken with regard to Israel, his nation, his chosen nation, the tribes that had inherited the land, the promises he had made to his fathers, to their fathers. Selah, take note of all these things. These are important matters that we have to think about, reflect, and then renew our trust in the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 13. In our instance where the word Selah is used, here it says, "Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck." Selah. All right? Reflect. Think about the words here. Meditate on them. Study it very carefully. Know its meaning. Know its significance. And here it speaks of how God had delivered Israel out of Egypt and fought their battles in Canaan and raised up Moses and Joshua, the Lord's anointed. And they are really types of Christ, pointing to the Messiah, the anointed one to come, who will deliver them ultimately from their sin, from the bondage of sin, of Satan, and of the world. Meditate on these words, for they have great spiritual meaning, and it will strengthen our faith in the Lord our God, who has fought our battles and delivered us from our enemies. Selah, all right, pay attention to the words. So whenever we find the word Selah, we should pause for a moment, read the verse or that portion again, and reflect on what God is trying to teach us or to tell us in light of who he is, what he is, and what he has done for us, and how we may apply those verses and the meaning behind those verses and those words, how we may apply those words, the principles, lessons we may draw from all these words and passages into our lives today. Selah. And the word Selah also is the imperative form or imperatival form of salal, right? Which means to lift up, to cast up. Now, this is a word used for exaltation, used to exalt and magnify the Almighty God. For example, the word is used in Proverbs 4 verse 8, the word salal, right? To lift up and to cast up. And Selah is the imperatival form, right? To speak of a command, to command us, of salal, okay? Which means to lift up and to cast up. Now, if you turn to Proverbs 4 verse 8, the word is used here, says, exalt her, exalt her. The word exalt here, from the Hebrew salal, it's where we get the imperatival form of Selah. It's exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And then Psalm 68 verse 4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol. Extol. And the word extol here, from salal, right? We get Selah. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. So here we know that not only does the word Selah tell the reader or the singer of the psalm to pay attention or to consider carefully the words preceding it, it also seeks to direct the reader to praise to praise, to bless, to glorify, to exalt, to magnify the Lord. Okay? To magnify the Lord. And so it, in other words, here, it is a word that seeks to motivate us, to move us to worship the Lord. When you read the word Selah, you must have a heart of worship, to worship the God that is described in those verses, in that passage, who is holy, who is true, who is just, who is good. For example, if you look at Psalm 24, verse 10. Psalm 24, verse 10. And here we read, "Who is this King of glory?" Oh, we have read this verse. I've read this verse in the call for worship. "Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Selah, right? So when you find the word Selah there, who is this King of glory? So we better make sure we spend time, meditate upon this question. To behold the glory of the Lord. To really realize how great He is. How we must tremble at His presence. How He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God. Who is this King of glory but the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all these things must fill our hearts and our minds. Selah, take time to reflect the fullness of the words that are found here. The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Do you know Him? Do I know Him? Have I regarded Him in such a way? Have I magnified the Lord and exalted Him and praised Him? Or have I failed Him? So it's for also personal reflection. How have we dealt with Him? How have we lived our lives before Him? How have we worshipped Him in His presence? Selah, think about these words. Think about what is written here. And then seek to exalt, magnify, glorify Him according to the truth here. And then Psalm 44 verse 8 says here, "In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever." Selah. Alright, think. In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever. It seeks to move us to exalt the Lord, to praise His name, to worship Him, to magnify Him, to boast in Him, to trust in Him. So take note of all these things, all right? And so as a word of emphasis or word of exaltation, Selah here contains the idea of always or forever and has the force of an amen. Force of an amen. So it focuses on the nature of our Lord God, that He is the forever existing God, and His words are always yes and amen, as taught in 2 Corinthians 1:18 to 20. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." So in the Old Testament, when you read the word Selah, it has the strength, the force of an amen. Yes, God is the King of glory. He is the Lord of hosts, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Israel. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. Amen. Right? And understand the fullness of what has been described here with regard to our God. Okay? And so in a very practical way, the word Selah is a call. It's a call for us to read the Psalms, not mechanically, but rather devotionally. Read the Psalms with great reverence, with a worshipful heart and mind. Meditate on those words. And many a time when we feel down and out, discouraged, dejected, and then we read the Psalms in such a way, with Selah, right, in our heart, in our mind, knowing what the word is all about, then we begin to reflect and think, and the Holy Spirit can instruct, to give us encouragement, to comfort our hearts. The psalm then becomes a balm to our souls. When we read the Psalms with Selah, understanding what it means in our hearts and our minds, you see. So it is to enjoin us to read the Psalms, not mechanically, but devotionally. And really it calls us to, number one, to adore the Lord, either by praising and magnifying Him for who He is and what He has done for us. So the call for us to worship Him, a call to worship, right? For example, Psalm 66 verse 4, the text we have just read, right? At the beginning, it says here, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. It's a call to worship. So let us worship the Lord. And then it not only calls us to worship the Lord, the word Selah calls us to trust in His power, in God's power and His promises. For example, Psalm 62 verse 8. When we read here, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And it calls us now have faith in Him. It's a word that gives us confidence in our God. Meditate upon the words here. Trust in His power and His promises. All right? And it is a call for us to have faith, a call to faith, a call to trust in Him. Based upon the words here that we have just read. Pay attention to these words, right? And then it is a call also to examine ourselves. A call to repentance. A call to examine ourselves so that we might confess our sins. Repent of our ways and get right with God. For example, Psalm 62 verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. All right. Let us examine ourselves. Have we done wicked, evil, deceitful things? Have we delighted in lies? Have we delighted in error and in sin? Do we bless with our mouth and then curse inside within us? In other words, have we been hypocrites in our lives? We talk, but we do not walk according to God's way. Selah, let us examine ourselves. And if we have done this, let us repent, confess our sin. Repent before God, get right with Him. So Selah is also a call to repentance. So the word Selah, so it's a word that calls us to worship the Lord. It calls us to have faith in the Lord. It calls us to confession and repentance before the Lord. According to what the word of God in text has said. A very, very weighty word indeed. A valuable word of the scriptures. And may we understand what this word means, so that whenever we read the Psalms and we come to the word Selah, we know how to respond correctly. Is the Lord calling me to worship, calling me to faith, calling me to repentance? And may I obey all these words, obey His call in all these areas. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for Thy word. Thy word that is so rich in its truth, so rich in its meaning. And we thank Thee that Thy word, every word, has a purpose and reason, and we can live by Thy every word that You desire for us to understand and to apply in our lives. So grant us understanding. Help us to enjoy the Psalms, all these inspired Psalms You have given to us, that we might draw great comfort from the Psalms, to know who You are, to adore You, to worship You, continue to trust in Thee, and how we must live a clean life, to examine ourselves, that we might continually be sanctified by Thee and Thy Word, and by Thy Spirit. So grant us Thy grace, O Lord. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remind us, O Lord, of what Jesus had done for us. Help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For this we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.